Well, it was a quiet time through the day, very quiet. It was beautiful weather, but nights were very exciting. We had answer parties of every form and description, performing all over this huge camp. Films on the side of a 30-weight truck, trumpeters, well, that famous trumpeter, he was there. Georgia, that is his signature tune, famous trumpeter. Oh, yes. All sorts of, all the crap blooming entertainers were there, naturally. Great time. Parade from one to the other thing, all over the camp, until the Jerry Major Scarpa. He was over every night. And these planes used to come over, and of course the searchlights from all the ships, all these landing craft had searchlights. The sky was lit, and when they got onto him, there was beams going onto him from every which way, and he never got out of it. They were down, he would come in flames. Poor devils.
Did this entertainment lift your spirits? Was it good for you?
Well, we're all in good spirits. We made our spirits good, whether they should have been good or not. My philosophy was always, if you can find something to laugh about, it doesn't matter how bad things are. I was a bit like that. I kept the job going. And there was one incident, you see. They used to warn us about when his bombs were dropping, and the anti-aircraft were all firing from ships and whatnot, it wasn't safe to be in the open. You should be in cover of some sort. Well, the first night we were parked, all with our three trucks. We'd seen the view of the bay from top of the hill, not far up from the truck. Grass it was, a beautiful view down below. And when the planes came over, we goes up to the top to watch the fireworks. Till we heard a whacking great thud somewhere, very near. We thought, oh, what the hell with this? Better get shelter. We went and got our under our trucks, because they had a sheet metal base anyway. But there was a big thud very near where our lads were camped in little two-man tents. And next morning they found outside of one of the tents, these little tents like this, too many, and they'd had a tin, a biscuit tin, when they got water in to wash. And there was a piece of old shell bottom. It was bigger than your hand, and great raw gushy round it, and it went right through the bottom of their washing tin, and it was a foot into the ground when they dug it out, and that had just missed the tent by that much. Great big lump of massive horrible metal, and that had come down from God. So we were very cautious after that. When the player, we didn't go out to watch off the bound top. Anyway, we had a period of one day we had to go take our trucks down to the docks, and they were bringing in the landing craft, LSTs, that was it, landing ship transport, that was where we were going to put the trucks. And we practiced up and down, backing into the landing craft, up the gangway, you know, and how to be directed in by your driver's mate, and he had to do this. If he did this when he was seeing you back, or he did that, you'd pull the same arm and down. If he was doing it with his right, you would be left hand, you see. But we went over this as a drill to back the trucks in, because they wanted to get them in all in tight together, you see. And we did that for a whole day. But up and down two or three times, each truck.
Had you done anything with waterproofing on your trucks? In case you have to.
Well, they were still waterproofed. Oh, we marked proof them all. We did them all there at Bizerta.
So you could land in water?
Yes. We were supposed to be able to land in 4 feet of water and the engines would be all right.
What did they do to the engines to make them protected?
Well, we had all, everything was supplied. We got the good supplies of everything. And if any trucks needed bits of their own normal engines, they were there. Right, Governor were there. And they had oil, silk, and all various things, and wax, and the plugs, all the plugs were covered, waterproofed, and the exhaust, you had that this flexible piping, and you fastened it to your exhaust, and taken it up over the roof, and we did all this ourselves. We were taught, sure, what to do, and that was all done at Bizerta. So we kept busy, really. But we were there. We weren't there very long.
Were you practicing landing from the sea?
No. No, we never
the
did.
The companies probably were.
We never did that. But the landing craft had charged that. They were all American. The one we were on was American anyway. The Marines supplied most of them, you know.
Was mail coming through to you all right?
Couldn't tell you. We didn't get much mail. We were too much on the move.
There must have been some kind of air of expectancy in the battalion now
we knew where we were going. We knew that they were already fighting in the Tour of Italy by then. They'd gone over from Sicily. They'd taken Sicily. Montgomery and that lot, he was still over there then. And Desert Rats. And they took Sicily and then they moved toward Italy and they had a rough go of it and all. I didn't get very far. But what we heard from the natives once we got into Italy and talked to the natives in the area of Salerno, they said, well, he knew you were coming a week before you landed. Because Jerry was practicing beach landing, defending against beach landing on the very beaches you were landing, so he knew all about it. Anyway, every night. We went onto the boat finally to pack in, and this was the last five. The car and transport were all put on the boat, and that was it. And I was the last truck. There was in front of me. There was a jeep, and then from the landing door, there was a jeep first of all, and then I was the next truck to go off when we landed. And all the floor was full of trucks, you see. And then we were on the ship there for a couple of nights, in Bizerta, great big inland sea, Bizerta Harbour was, with just another way out to the Mediterranean. And every night he was coming over with these damn planes, you know. Well, we were very worried about that aircraft, but we were stuck there in the damn ship.
At this point, you didn't know exactly where you were landing.
No, we weren't told. No, we were told on the boat itself.
And you sailed early September, I think.
Yeah, we did. Of course, it was. It was my birthday, wasn't it? I wasn't quite sure which was the 14th. I knew it was somewhere when we were in Salerno, but I didn't know which day it was. And on the ship, travelling there, all 4 days travelling, because it was slow moving, these boats, you know. And we had exercises on the boat. The officers had sand trays on the boat, playing sandcastles. And they were building this area that was supposed to be what we were going to encounter when we got there. And if we didn't go to sleep, because it was that hot, we were...
So they were telling you what
Yes, when you get so-and-so, you get so-and-so, you go, you get up onto this road, so-and-so, and this so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you'll find so-and-so. I didn't say anything of that once we got there. It was chaos, absolute chaos.
Italy capitulated whilst you were on the boat.
Yes, we got the news.
And what were they telling you at that point?
It was very bad for us because Jerry, when he knew Italy had collapsed, he withdrew everything from the Soviet Italy where he'd been fighting the Montgomery's lot, and he got them all up to Salerno as fast as he could before we landed, and he had tanks there firing his artillery pieces. Mind, he lost most of them because they bogged down in the sandy area. But there was all hell was let loose.
Was it on the boat in that situation? Were they telling you it was going to be an easy landing, or did they anticipate?
No, I don't think they anticipated an easy landing. No, there was bound to be some opposition there with no our security would know. I have a rough idea what was there. They would have found out.
Where did you sleep on the boat for the 4 days?
Oh, anywhere.
You didn't have bunks, or?
No, we'd sleep in our trucks, I expect. Yeah, it's in the cabin, that's right. Oh, I had an incident there while we were in Bezerra Harbour. We'd been issued, you see, with life belts. But they weren't very much of a thing, they were Cape Hawk. And there was a piece of a bow went round here and round here.
Round your waist.
And it was supposed to keep you afloat for, I think, did they say 4 hours or 2 hours, I'm not sure which. But it was only a temporary affair before you were picked up. Or if you weren't picked up, well, hard luck. Anyway, the first night we were on the boat, and then we heard the air sirens were going off, air warning sirens were going off, the ships were all hooting, and there was air raid imminent. And one or two of us, I'd left my damn Cape Hawk thing in my truck, in my cabin, life belt. Two or three of us did. So we dashed down off the open deck. I was one deck down. Well, there was only one deck down to get me. Goes back up the ladder and it was shut. Oh dear, we boxed in now. There was about four of us. They'd shut all the doors as soon as the rain started, you see. Well, went all scooted all around and couldn't find a way out. So there we were. There was a bit. Up onto the open deck, there was a great area like this with a fan going slowly around, an extractor fan. So we're looking up at this, we said, well, there's only one way we'll get out. If the ship's sunk, we'll have to float in here till we get right up to there. And then we'll get out the fan, we'll be able to stop the fan and get out there. Anyway, we finally get to the one right extreme end of the deck, and we found a door that opened. And it opened into the galley where the Americans' cooks were. The ship was staffed by American sailors, you see. And we were in the galley where they were cooking. And they looked around and they said, where the hell have you come from? So we told them, we're glad to be out, I can tell you. Anyway, that was what, before we moved out. So,
did the American crew look after you well?
Before we sailed, somebody had been on these jobs before or something. I don't know. Somebody told me that when you're on the boat, they'll designate you to do various jobs of what you call our jobs we used to do. Fatigues, that's right. And they said, if you get a chance to volunteer with the cookhouse, because the PD you like blondes? So we did. Two or three of us volunteered for crew cabs. We had to go half an hour before such and such a time, before breakfast time, and help to dish out stuff. But we had to get ours first. There was queues of the sailors, but they said, no, go on, you boys, you go, you have to, you have work to do, you go first. That was to us. And these little tins that they pick up with all the little divisions in, and all these delicacies. What a breakfast. The maids were absolutely.
Do you remember what you were getting?
I don't know, but it was all damn good.
American food, wasn't
it? Oh, it's American food, yes. A lot of sweet stuff. There were devils for sweet stuff in Americans. In fact, I got bloody terrible indigestion. It was too damn rich for what we'd used to. It was really rich food, you see. And we were living on it. It was nice. And that was it.
Were you getting a little bit tense as you came closer to your invasion point?
I don't know. I wasn't myself.
What was the weather like on the journey?
Very, very beautiful. Beautiful weather. We sailed within sight of the Italian coast for a couple of days, I think. We saw the Italian coast right from the tow. We weren't far out. And didn't see any more happening there. Of course, there wasn't, because Jerry had pulled out from the tow and had gone up to... And that was it. We played cards on the deck, and we had our lectures on the deck, and heaven bless.
As you neared Salerno, could you hear what was going on before he actually came inside of it?
Well, the first sight was, it was really, you can't believe it, the amount of ships that were coming away with a huge convoy. But as you were coming in from the open sea, this was the Mediterranean, of course, wasn't it? As you were coming in, there's another great convoy coming here, another one over there, and another one some behind that. Hundreds, must have been thousands of ships. They were all bringing troops in, and LSTs and whatnot. And we anchored, a quarter of a mile out to sea, we anchored overnight. And there was shelling from the hills beyond the beach. Jerry was shelling with his, using his tanks, his artillery, and it was all hell. That lot of shells kept coming over the sea, and all we were enjoying it on the deck of the old landing craft. So we heard a whirring overhead, and then there was a great splash about 100 yards beyond us. So I'd have gone over the top of it. He said, what the hell with this? It's not as safe as we thought we were. Anyway.
Where were you, your ship with the transport in relation to the infantry?
Well, they were already landed. They'd only landed 2 days before we did.
2 days behind them.
Mm.
What was the scene on the beach then as you began to land?
Well, I...
Oh, did you land on the beach, of course?
Yes. We were supposed to... We were waterproof. We could land in 4 feet of water on the RA. But it was early morning. We docked overnight, anchored the way out, and then we moved very early morning, daybreak anyway. And we went slowly. We could feel the vessel moving, and we were ordered to go down and start our engines and get them ticking over slowly. And so we moved. And they lowered this great big door. They lowered it about so far, ready to drop down finally, the gantry. And we're sitting there, all the engines running. It was a bit dodgy then, I can tell you. Because we'd seen what chaos it was the night before.
Did you see any ships hit whilst you were...
I didn't see any, but we heard of one that was hit. They hit the country. A bomb or something hit the country.
So you're going in and you're door would have gone to your car. It was
yes,
so far away.
Yeah. And we were moved slowly in, and then there was a bump. And then we stopped. Just couldn't see out because this gap was a little up, high up, you see. It was a great big landing gantry. And couldn't see out. But we stopped. And then she moved again, but she going backwards this time. So he obviously thought he could get a bit further up if he went had another go. So he went back, obviously, and then he came in again in a bit bigger bump this time, and then the gantry went down. And we just drove off. The jeep went off before me, and then I followed him. And then we were just in a melee of troops and artillery pieces and mortar bombs firing and jabbering, and everything seemed to be happening. And there was all different troops. You didn't know one lot from the other. It was right chaos on the beach. But it was sorted out. We were sorted out, finally.
Have the dead and the wounded been moved, or did you see any of them?
I didn't see any of them, but we heard of a few casualties. We had one or two. This one that had the back, the shell dropped on the landing gantry. Yeah, there was a few casualties on that.
Was it chaotic, or did it just look chaotic?
Well, it looked chaotic. It was organised, actually.
How was it organised? I mean,
well, obviously they got the measure of his attack. And they were responding, you see, and they were giving him as good as he gave us.
So you had artillery and mortars firing from the beach as you moved off?
Yes. We had stacks of artillery and that firing from the beach at the enemy. So we controlled him, and we knocked his tanks out.
Were you directed? Was someone directing you to a position or assembly area?
Yes, somebody took us over. Donald was very busy. Motorcyclists and officers in the jeeps, and they soon collected us, and we within the day we started moving for Tunis itself. Tunis, Salerno.
Were the signposts showing you which unit lay in which direction?
No, we were just in charge of our own officers.
And they seemed to know where you were.
Yeah, they were following the instructions that we'd been given on the boat, I expect. But it was nothing like what happened to us. It was nothing like what they'd given us on the boat. It was all so you find so and so and so and so. It was a laugh.
And you didn't find them?
Well, I know. None of the things we were supposed to look for appeared anyway. We went right along. We were just about, our cabs were full of flaming apples by then. Everywhere we went, they were chucking up.
Was this the civilians?
Yeah. Lined the streets all the way from Salerno into all the way from the landing beaches to into Salerno itself.
And you went into the town?
We went to the edge of the town, yes. But that first afternoon, we got to the edge of the town, and then we turned right. This was Air Company. We turned right onto a track, and it was going towards the foot of a range of hills, low hills. And we didn't go into the town the first evening. We spent the night up there, and it was all very peaceful.
And that was with A Company that you now joined?
Yes, yes. And we
I forgot to ask you, what exactly was on your trip on the ship? What were you carrying into the, or towards the company? Had you anything on it at all?
Oh, yes, we had a lot of stuff on. We would have our usual supply of ammunition. We would never be without it.
You were still A Company truck,
right? Oh, yes. I mean, they could be in action any time. I would have all their ammunition on.
When you joined the company, you see, in these foothills, and it was quiet. And what did the company or
No, we didn't get a chance for everybody was just ready to flop down and have a good rest, I think. I cut Major Vizards and Captain Logan hair that afternoon. Peaceful, beautiful sunny day, Major Vizard said, "Have you got your hair with you, gent?" I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "Well, might as well have a haircut, then as I can do it a bit off." I cut his hair, and he remembered it when we discussed it later. Poor old Long, though, was killed next day. He was quite a young fella. He was wounded. We moved into the town the second day, right into the town.
You weren't disturbed at all that first night?
No, peaceful as all get out. We just lounged about and we cooked some food and for our ration. Well, we had rations on board, of course, and we were looking over the top of the hill where we could see way down into a valley, and a long way away there was a little group of troops of some sort, and we weren't sure what they were. We couldn't make out. The officers couldn't make out, the Vizard and his officers, whether they were British troops or whether they were German troops. And so Doug Riddleston, the company sergeant major, he says, I'll go and get a bit near. He says, "I'll go and have a look, see if I can identify what they are." He's away down in the bottom they were. We weren't sure whether they were British or what. And old Doug was game for anything, as he grabbed little. He got some decorations and all. And he went away and came back and he said they were British. Of course, they'd been fighting round there, you see. It was all over the place by then. Not just in Salerno. Of course, they'd worked round from the landing beaches way back there and they'd worked round here. And we went in the evening of that day into the town.
This was the second day that you were there.
Yeah.
And did the
they were fighting all night that night.
Did the infantry move in marching, you followed in the trucks?
Oh yes, they'd marched into from the landing. No, they were up this track when we got there. Because they'd been there too, they landed 2 or 3 days before we did.
And the next move would be to the Hospital Hill where they had their first action.
That's right. That's where
we. That's where you're moving to.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. It took me. Somebody took me up. Took the two of us up the halfway up Hospital Hill, and then took us off the road, and we went in. The land was terraced. With terraces about this wide, you know, and olives, grapes growing, and then there was a terrace like that, and then there was a drop, and then there was another terrace, right away down to the road bottom. And we got our trucks in there that first evening.